there's so many different market conditions and, you know, percentages and, you know, different things of that nature we could talk about. But I think this industry, and Michael, I mean, you know this as well as or better than everybody. I mean, it's people, man. I mean, it really is people. Now, we've been fortunate. I think that, especially when you look at used car sales, I think that there was obviously some pent-up demand coming out of, you know, the spring as markets started to open and all those types of things. But, you know, I think at the end of the day, just the will of the people to say, okay, the way we used to do business is not going to work in this environment. So what do we need to do? What's it going to take to change and to do what it takes, basically, or to do whatever it takes to do that? So I think the foundation of it underlying is just a lot of really great people that work in this industry across the board. And I think that's the foundation of it. And then built on top of that, there have been some, you know, some good things to happen. In light of all the bad things that kind of have hit us and continue to kind of still fall into the market, we've been fortunate that, you know, I think on a macro level, especially, there's been a lot of money flowed into and invested into the system macro level. And I think that, and that's not to say that, man, I mean, my heart goes out to some of these small business owners. Mm-hmm. I mean, man, if you owned a restaurant or, gosh, God forbid, a bar, I don't know the best business owner that says, hey, we need to go in this year with probably 12 months of operating capital and we'll see what happens. I mean, it's terrible,
right,
from that aspect of it. So I feel for them. But, you know, from an automotive industry standpoint, I think great people, good, bad, or indifferent. I think that there are a lot of people that either looked at mass transportation or ride sharing transportation or, you know, whatever that may be and said, hey, I don't know if I'm going that direction right now. So I'm going to look at this, you know, this used vehicle and that opportunity. So I think there are a lot of different things to kind of add on to that. But I would say definitely in our conversations, it's just been, you know, the people in the industry, they've kind of rallied together and said, okay, what do we do to make this work? How do we make this work? What can we do? And then with some fortuitous bounces of the ball, if you will, mm-hmm. We find ourselves in not necessarily a great spot right now, but man, it sure could be worse.
Yeah, absolutely. As you're saying all of this, what rings true to me is a couple of things you've said that I love. And I'm having flashbacks to Toronto standing on stage at the peak of as good as things could have been in front of, gosh, I don't know how many dealers you had in that room. Let's say 1,000, you know, maybe 500, maybe. I don't know what the actual number was, but there were a lot.
Probably somewhere in between there, yeah.
Looking at a sea of dealers and they think they're about to get a marketing talk. And I share with them basically what you just said, and I think this is why it resonates with me, that the biggest fish is not being disturbed or disrupted. The bigger fish is not your competitor who has more capital. The bigger fish is not Carvana. It's what you started this whole conversation with, people, the customer, the customer, the person that is taking their hard-earned dollars out of their pocket in exchange for something that you see valuable. And the other thing that you just said, which really resonates with me, is that, and I think this is a positive thing, is it has refocused us as an industry on the fact that we don't sell metal. We sell freedom. What you just said about mass transportation and people going, and choosing to go to own a vehicle, that to me says, wait, there is way more utility in having a vehicle than I think we all realize. Like, we all took for granted the ability we have to move around in something that we own. And so, so this is just super fascinating to me. It's also, I think, not to get all spiritual or whatever, but like nothing short of miraculous to see how quickly consumer confidence returned.
Yeah.
Even though we're still in the midst of all of this.
Sure.
What's your take on that? Like, what do you think has been driving that?
You know, I think it's a lot of different things. I mean, I think that, you know, you mentioned, you know, what we took for granted, and man, how long is that list right now? I mean, you know, even a year ago when things were going well, we probably could have, you know, sat down at the end of the conference and, you know, taken our jackets off and been, man, you know, what am I thankful for? What have I taken for granted? But I have got to tell you, I mean, I would say my list has grown substantially since a year ago, from that standpoint. And again, it goes back to people. I mean, you know, I look at our small company, you know, from that standpoint, and, you know, the things that our team has done collectively, individually, man, they've all had to make some sacrifices along the way. And, but still to show up every day or to log on every day, or, you know, to whatever that looks like. And we do have a few people in and out of the office,
sure.
For sure. And that's been great. It's been great to be able to have that collaboration and those conversations. But, you know, I think that it's, you know, what we did take for granted. I mean, in so many ways. And I think that when you look at going forward, to, you know, pertinent to our conversation, I mean, as you said, the freedom of a vehicle, when you are basically at some points during the last 5 or 6 months told not to go anywhere, you know, you need to stay home.
Yeah.
For everyone's good. For yeah. your own good, for the collective good, for your, you know, the good of your kids, your parents, your neighbors, your friends, your business, all these things. And I think that there's a part of us, you know, that's kind of wired into our DNA that whether it's a bike or a motorcycle or your, you know, your SUV or whatever, it does give you that freedom. You know, I mean, there were times, you know, 4 or 5 months ago when, you know, you had to get suited up to go to the grocery store, and that was all great. But hey, man, we're going out. You know, we're headed out to the grocery store. Oh, praise God. I mean, this is like amazing, right? I mean, you're like, I'm not going to get everything today because I might want to go back again on Wednesday, you know, yeah. and just check it out. You know, it might be some new stuff at the grocery store. Where typically for me, I mean, it's like, okay, you know, babe, what can I pick you up on the way home? You know, happy to do it. I don't really mean it.
Yeah.
I do right. mean it, but I'm like, please don't make me stop at the grocery. But now, I mean, it's like, hey, let's go to the grocery store, man. This is awesome. Let's run through the drive-through.
I know.
It's awesome. Let's hit a Chick-fil-A. Oh my gosh.
I used to remember growing up, my parents would be like, hey, we're just going to go run out for a drink real quick. And they would just go to McDonald's drive through. And I'm like, these have got to be the most lame people I have ever met in my entire life. And now I find my wife, by the way, who I think is an 86-year-old trapped in a 35-year-old's body, wrote a letter to McDonald's because they were late on dollar drink days.
Nice.
Because it wasn't legit. Even necessarily about dollar drink days. It was about, I got nowhere else to go.
Yeah.
All my wife and I can do is hop in the car, stay in the car. And if that means a little bit of relief is going through the drive-through, like you just said, then so be it. And now I've realized, I guess that was the first lesson is you're right. Like the list of what we take for granted, the utility of a vehicle, the freedom of a vehicle, especially at a time like this. The second thing I learned is that we all become our parents.
We totally do. Absolutely.
And you know, that also puts it into perspective, right? Because I look at my grandfather. He was born in 1916.
Yeah.
His dad fought in World War I. He grows up. He fights in World War II. He's on the front lines of World War II for the entire duration of the war. And then that war ends, and then there's, what is it, Vietnam, Korea, Libya, Middle East, Iraq.
Like, yeah.
His entire life was the world at war. And now we're dealing with this thing, and it's awful, and we want to do our part, and we're going to definitely make the history books for sure.
Right.
But it's in a way been kind of a blessing, because I think a lot of people have focused on what matters most, or they've been given a cause to focus on what matters most. Dealers have been, they've been dialing back, whether it's their marketing or whether it's whatever it might be, but it's because they finally went, whoa, we need to adapt and change. And I think a really positive thing is we realized how quickly an industry can actually start to, when we're put under pressure, man, we adapt and we evolve.
Yeah.
And you hear about other industries who are still like behind the eight ball, and we're 6 months into this deal, and it's like, what do I do? And to see how quickly dealers from coast to coast just were like, no, okay, change process.
Right.
It's pretty spectacular.
Right. It really is. It really is. And I think that, that runs, especially when we talk about the used car market. I mean, I think that runs from the retail side, which is exactly what you're talking about and what they had to do on the retail side, clear through the whole process into the wholesale market. I mean, because, man, even, not that long ago, when you said something like the word auto auction, all you thought about was, 1,000 people standing in all these lanes, bidding on vehicles that were being driven through one at a time, and the excitement of it and, the game day atmosphere of that, which was an adrenaline rush. And to have all of that process really go to a digital platform completely. And now there's some, they're beginning to do some in-person stuff where it makes sense. But, you look at new cars, I mean, man, it's still some of the production is slow to catch up. Some of these factories are not running at 100%. So used cars are critically important, to the dealership world. Franchise dealerships, obviously. Independent dealers, no matter what, right? They've got to have that inventory. And of course, we can talk about some market conditions. I mean, wholesale prices are high, right now. They're strong. I mean, some of the inventories are getting tighter, on dealer lots. And this is true for North America, not just in Canada. It's true for a North American picture, which, which is beginning to cause some things. Everyone, a few weeks ago was talking about, oh my gosh, I can't imagine, what if Hertz has to sell all of these cars?
Right.
And now they're like, man, I wish Hertz would sell some more cars and bring that inventory back into the system. So it really has been amazing. I mean, the industry took I'm almost tired of the word pivot, and I don't know a better word, but I'll apologize for using the word pivot. It's really become the buzzword. But I mean, for right now, I'll say that. I mean, it was a tremendous pivot into a completely digital atmosphere. And you're right, man, the customers came back. Thank goodness. I mean, thank goodness the customers came back and continue to come back, which is awesome.